Jilly from Philly.
Nick Papa Giorgio from Yuma.
What's up, Yuma? Welcome to another episode of What's Up, Yuma Radio, the Halloween edition. I'm Johnny.
And I'm Ronnie, wearing my Freddy Krueger sweater.
Is that what that is?
No, I feel like off-brand Freddy Krueger.
Well,
I think his was black and red. Mine's blue.
Yeah, it doesn't look anything
and
like that.
And then, he had knife hands. I'm just growing my nails out.
Yeah.
I might leave a mark on you.
At least Ronnie tried today.
Yeah, you didn't do anything.
I don't think anybody else in this whole building has done anything.
I know. We talked about it as we were leaving yesterday. I'm like, maybe I'll wear my daughter's witch hat. But I was like, no, I don't want to.
Yeah.
Boring.
None of us done anything, I think, as far as like everybody here at the studio. So,
yeah
okay. we're all right. And yeah. I'm assuming Ashley dresses like this every day. So that's, I don't think she did anything either. So,
is this what you wear every day? This is normal.
I'm dressed up as a mortician.
That's what she's dressed up in, which is spooky, right? That's definitely spooky enough. So, yes, we are joined now by Ashley, who is a local funeral director, right? Mm-hmm. Like, not just mortician, there's like more that goes into it.
Yes, so I'm a licensed funeral director and then an embalm intern.
Embalm intern.
Oh, so you're learning. Or you do it.
Or going to learn.
Technically, I haven't taken the test, so I have to be under a licensed embalmer when I embalm.
But you've done it before?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was like, I find it so interesting.
Yeah. That's probably my favorite part of the job.
Wow. Yeah, you reached out to me. you were watching some series on Netflix or so. What was it on? It's on something.
It was that mortician documentary.
Oh, I never seen it.
It was awful. I mean, not like the show, but it was just.
And you kind of mentioned that it's like, look, the people are finding this stuff interesting. Mm-hmm. So would it be cool if I come on the show and kind of talk about it? And I'm like, well, Halloween's a perfect time to do that. So we made this happen today. So very cool. But you weren't always a mortician, embalmer, student, whatever. No, I originally met you. You were working at a tattoo shop.
Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Which one?
Tagger's Tattoos.
I've gotten work there many times, really.
And you never saw her there.
No, well, how long ago was that?
Gosh, it's probably been like at least 10
Yeah, mine was like in the last few.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And then my tattoo artist moved away. I'm mad at her. I'm just kidding. I'll get a new one.
Who was it?
Her name was Lena.
Oh, yes. I've gotten tattooed.
She's great, isn't she?
Yes, she is. She's great.
Okay, enough about Lena. We love Lena.
We love Lena. We learned that today.
She moved to Colorado.
Oh, damn her moving away. And with all that love that she has here. No, I originally met you. You were at a tattoo place. And I forget. I don't know how the conversation was. Mm-hmm. It was probably like, hey, you're pretty. You want to be a model for me or something like that?
She's
I think that's how it went, right?
Yeah,
basically.
Sure. Pretty easy. Sure.
Yeah. And then you modeled some glasses for Liquid Eyewear. That was one of my clients at the time.
Oh, that's cool.
I never knew that you wanted to cut up dead bodies and stuff at that point.
I don't think I knew at that point.
Oh, you didn't know either?
Yeah,
okay.
I didn't think I knew at that point.
And is cutting up the right term?
Well, I don't know.
We're going to find out.
It's my technical term.
It's not the most proper.
Yeah. But so we like to get to know our guests. So we're going to get into your background and figure out what went wrong or what went right. I'm just kidding. So where'd you grow up originally?
I'm from San Diego and I moved here probably, gosh, it's been probably 18 years now, 19 years.
Mm-hmm. What brought you here from San Diego?
An ex-boyfriend.
Ex-boyfriend. All right.
Wait, that's what it is. It's either ag or love.
Our guest yesterday was like, I don't want to bring up why I came back. And it's like, you don't have to.
The statute of limitations has not run out.
You don't have to tell us. But it's probably that same reason. But okay, so an ex-boyfriend brought you to Yuma and said, we're packing the bags. We're going to Yuma. Mm-hmm. You got here from San Diego. What were your thoughts?
I love it.
You love it?
I love it.
Oh, okay.
I have such a big city.
Yes.
You liked it.
It's too expensive over there. Mm. The traffic is horrible. I love it. This is a little bit
slower.
Slower. And everybody knows everybody. And I love that aspect of Yuma.
Mm-hmm.
So. Cool.
So, okay. So, let's go back a little bit, though. So, you're in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
You're a young girl. Are you, like, taking apart your Barbie dolls and stuff? Or, like, what was it? What'd you want to be when you were young?
He's trying to find out if you're a serial killer.
Maybe.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess at some point it comes back to music. I loved like old school punk rock. We were talking like the Misfits and everything like that.
Me too.
So there's a little bit of a dark side. But then what really sparked my interest is, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie My Girl.
Oh my God, like a million times.
And I forget the actress's name, but she was a makeup artist for the dad's funeral home.
Yes, she was. Dan Aykroyd, wasn't it?
As soon as I saw that, I was like, that's right.
So you saw that when you were a kid, that kind of did something. Mm-hmm. That did a little, something. And we did off air, we talked about music because growing up, my best friend, she was like, I want to be a mortician too. But if you look, if you went into the room and we were like maybe 8 years old, 9 years old, there's Misfits posters everywhere. Sam Hain, I guess that's not the proper way to pronounce it, but that's how we pronounce it over here, but which was Glenn Danzig's other band after he left the Misfits. That's what the room was all decorated in, and all we watched was horror movies, right?
Yep.
Oh, she never did it. She never did it, but you had a little bit of that in your past, the punk rock music, the dark, the spooky, which the Misfits are really known for.
And, you know, the creepy going to the cemetery at night. Yep.
Oh, okay. You would do that, too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a technical term for that, people that are obsessed with that. I'm not obsessed with it, but as a kid, you're like, let's go do something we're not supposed to do, you know?
So. See if we see a ghost.
Yeah, exactly.
So did you also, it was horror movies a part of it too? Scary movies?
Yes, I have a full sleeve, tattoo sleeve of horror, like old 50s horror movies. Vincent Price is one of my favorites.
Oh, Vincent Price, okay.
So, and I grew up on that. My dad and I would watch those as a kid. So, I mean, that probably puts a, you know.
Yeah, my mom was like, no, you can't watch that. Then I go to my dad's, he's like, let's watch all the bad movies.
Exactly. But it's funny now, if you watch those, they're not even
compared to today.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I have to attribute it. I think anybody who's in the funeral industry has a little bit.
A little bit of that.
You know,
it's like the people that work the night shift. They're a little off.
Yeah. There's something. Exactly. Yeah.
And so House on Haunted Hill, do you like that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I haven't seen that forever. Price,
that's a good one.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Memory lane, man.
Right.
So you have a little bit of this influence, but that's not what you do right away. What was your first like career type job? Not just the McDonald's or.
When I moved here, I became the manager of MAC Cosmetics inside of Dillard's. So I did makeup on the living.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And then COVID hit and everything just kind of shut down.
So you can't do makeup at the mall anymore because. Yeah, this happened. But so makeup. So you're doing makeup for a while. What interested you about that? Like, how'd you get into that?
You know, it's funny that it's Halloween today because my favorite doing makeup at the mall is people would come in to do Halloween makeup.
Cool.
And I loved that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Real creative.
Exactly. Which later in life, in the funeral industry, I didn't know that that was going to
play a part.
Also play a part.
Exactly.
But like with makeup, you have color theory. Like it's just a different form of artistry, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
So that's played a big part in the funeral part of my life. But I don't know. That I just kind of fell into makeup.
So was it the beauty aspect or was it, like you said, that
kind
also
of both?
Both?
Kind of both. Okay. Yeah. Well, and going back to horror movies, you know, like the special effects makeup. So you have to start out at like beauty before
you
got to
do something before you can get to that. So maybe that was could possibly been a pathway, right?
Did you want to do that maybe for movies?
Absolutely. And coming from San Diego, Hollywood, all that stuff, that was like one of my, I want to do special effects makeup. And I'd watch all the shows and get all the stuff during Halloween. And then when I got old enough and moved here, that's when I became a makeup artist. But that, you know, like I said, Halloween people would come in and, hey, can you make me do your, you know. In fact, I just came from there today. I was doing somebody's makeup today for
Halloween. Where were they?
They were Beast from Beauty and the Beast. And so I did all these prosthetics on him.
That's
and stuff
cool.
Like that.
Yeah.
So then you're doing makeup. So were you doing it on yourself as a kid, like getting dressed for Halloween, or maybe even later in life? Like were you doing that?
I'd say both. Like for Halloween, and then I have two older sisters, so I would steal their makeup. You know, when I was in middle school.
Are you the baby?
Yes.
Me too. Of two older sisters. Yep.
So I would steal their makeup, so I would do it on myself, and then that's just and. I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but I was good at it. And so I'm like, well, if you're going to be good at something, you might as well run with it, right?
Correct.
And get paid for it. So that's.
So you're practicing. You're stealing their makeup. They're like, dang it. Where's this? Yeah. My blush goer, my mascara. It's like.
Hide it better.
It's like, I have a future here. There's something here. Right? I need my
blush.
I need it. We're going to make it happen. So you're doing that. And you like the creative aspect of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what happened when COVID hit?
Everything stopped. I mean, we all
went through it. Yep. Yeah. So what did you like pivot to?
So I had always been interested in the funeral industry.
Okay.
But I just never had the opportunity or chance to like dip my toe in it. So mm-hmm. when COVID hit, my husband, if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't be doing this.
What's your husband's name?
Tim Hoyt.
Shout out, Tim.
Shout out, Tim. But he's like, why don't you go back to school for it? Okay. And I had never even looked into becoming it. So I had no idea what the schooling was. Mm-hmm. And there's a local funeral home here. And I talked to the owner, Caesar, and he's like, look, this is what I did. This mm-hmm. is how I did it. Mm-hmm. It's a 2-year program. I think you'd be really good at it because backstory, his daughter worked for me at Mac.
Oh, okay. So there you go.
There's kind of a connection. Yep.
Exactly. So it was all online.
Oh,
it was in Colorado, which mm-hmm. was amazing mm-hmm. because there's a school in Phoenix, but I didn't want to, you know, it's hard. I'd have to pick up and move. Mm-hmm. So I looked into it.
Oh, so theirs was an online. No. You found an online
one. Online.
Okay.
So I did it, and here we are.
So wow. you go to school to do this online?
Yeah.
But you don't. How do you do that without having dead bodies?
It's all like AI.
Right, exactly. So it's a lot of...
You're looking in the science of it and stuff?
So
or
there's
what?
Science.
Probably business.
Business.
For sure.
There's tons of laws. Oh. Tons of laws. And uh-huh. as a funeral director, you have to know all those laws. Mm-hmm. You also have to take into aspect different cultures and how they, mm-hmm. you know, bury
That's
cremation.
Right.
You
exactly.
They have all these... I don't know what the right word is for.
Well, cultural. It's traditional.
Yeah, traditional, it's, yeah. exactly. Depending on religion, there's yeah. certain standards and things that you need to do, and wow. you need to be well-versed mm-hmm. in all of it because mm-hmm. anybody and everybody can walk through your door.
Wow. So that's a lot of learning in that aspect
yes.
before you get to cut
Hands
open
on.
Somebody and stuff like that, you know, or do whatever you got to do at the funeral. So that's what you're learning, those things. And
biology, all of that.
Gotcha.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So was the 2 years, was it very hard? Or did you find it fairly simple?
Honestly, I think if you like something,
yeah.
you're going to find it a lot easier
yeah.
because you're interested in it and it'll yeah. come naturally to you. Mm-hmm. But because it was all online, you do have to, by law, mm-hmm. have clinical. So I would fly mm-hmm. back to Colorado for a week each semester, so twice. Mm-hmm. And then you had to, I think it was 10 bodies you had to embalm or something mm-hmm. like that. So
tell me about the first one.
So I was a little nervous because,
yeah.
mind you, a lot of people that go into embalming or funeral directing
okay.
already have their toe in the door, mm-hmm. whether that's a service attendant or mm-hmm. removal tech mm-hmm. Or cemetery. Mm. I had none of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think I had seen a decedent other than a funeral mm-hmm. before I did this. And I asked my teacher, I said, what are the odds of me flying out there looking at one decedent and being like, nope, I can't handle this. Mm-hmm. He said, Ashley, in his like 30 years of teaching, he said he's only had one student do that mm-hmm. and they were back the next semester.
Oh, okay.
They had a mini freak out.
Yeah, I think you just kind of know. I mean, because it is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I will say in Colorado, it's huge there. Mm. So when you walk into that refrigeration unit, there's literally like 200-300 decedents mm. and it can get overwhelming really quick.
Wow.
Yeah, and you're using the technical term decedents, which yeah. I haven't heard until today. Mm-hmm. I would just say like dead bodies, but that's the proper way to say it.
Yeah.
I think it's the more
respectful or okay.
passionate
yeah,
way.
I'm over here.
I like it. I'm going to say that.
I mean,
because
most people are, you know, that's somebody's grandma,
that's
somebody's
right.
mom,
yeah,
somebody's sister.
Absolutely.
You know, they're,
absolutely.
Or if it's not decedent, then I say loved one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Gotcha.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
So, and you'd mentioned we were talking off air, and when I said, like, I mm-hmm. had friends that say, I want to do this, and it was kind of cool. We're listening to the Misfits, watching these horror movies. But you said, but once you're in it, right? Like you maybe not so much, right? Not a lot of people backed out in that school, but being in it is a totally different experience, right?
Oh, absolutely. My husband and I laugh because with social media now, mm-hmm. you get a glimpse into people's lives.
Yes.
And a lot of people are into spooky, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Spooky and gory stuff. But when you're in it,
yeah.
sometimes I don't think that everybody
understands.
Or can handle
it.
I
mean,
I don't think I could.
It's not
yeah.
just blood, mm-hmm. and I mean, there's smells along with it.
Yes.
And not to mention, you're working with decedents, yeah. so it's death.
Yes.
Death is not a fun
thing.
You
not
have
at all.
Crying family member. Mm. You know,
we
it's
were talking
hard.
About that. Yeah.
It's mentally taxing.
Yeah, so there's a lot with it. So yeah, just because you like horror movies, and you can,
and I know that's not for me. I already know. I remember, like, junior high, we went on a field trip for science and saw cadavers, and I was like, nope, like I don't want anything to do with it. Yeah, and I just know that's not for me.
Yep.
But I love that it's for you.
Yeah, well, somebody has to do it.
Exactly.
And it takes the right person. And real quick, we're gonna take a quick break, but before we do, Juan, can we get the camera back on her and show the shirt that she's wearing real quick? Can we? When what does it say?
It's
my day starts when yours ends. Didn't
you're kind of getting there. So I guess you got to have the right personality and have fun with
exactly.
it as well.
You got to
so
find the humor and everything.
You got to get the humor. So we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be back with Ashley. We'll kind of get into a little bit of the day to day stuff that she sees. We'll do that right after this. You're listening to What's Up Yuma Radio right here on 94.7 KOFA Border Radio.
Ever wanted to be on the radio? Still talking into your hairbrush in the mirror? Border Radio needs you as a volunteer host. Share music, stories, and local conversations that matter. No experience necessary. We'll provide the training. Email info@borderradioaz.org or call 877-838-5292 for more information.
You're tuned to 94.7 FM. I'm Juan Garcia from the KWC Newsroom. The weather forecast for Halloween is sunny with the high near 90. Mostly clear this evening with a low around 62. KWC is collecting ofrenda to celebrate our loved ones. For more information, you can visit the KOFA Border Radio 2025 Dia de los Muertos virtual altar at kawc.org. Stay tuned for more What's Up Yuma with Johnny and Ronnie on 94.7 FM, KOFA Border Radio.
Hear the rhythm. Feel the beat. Let your curiosity run away on the Latin Alternative. Hi, I'm Josh Norick. Every episode of the Latin Alternative takes you on a thrilling rendezvous of sonic and exotic landscapes in Latin rock, funk, hip-hop, electronic, and tropical music. Join me and my co-host, Ernesto Lechner, on the Latin Alternative.
Monday evening at 7 on KOFA Border Radio 94.7 FM.
Blood services provider Vitalant is hosting blood drives at Yuma locations on an ongoing basis. Daily personal emergencies and ongoing medical needs of thousands of patients require a constant and ready blood supply. Donations of all blood types, especially O, are needed. Locations, dates, and appointments at donors.vitalant.org.
What's up, Yuma? Welcome back to What's Up Yuma Radio. We're here talking to Ashley Hoyt for the special Halloween edition because she is a local mortician and a funeral director. So we're talking about that. And we left with you go to school, you learn about the science and all these other things, how to deal with it, culture, all these aspects. But then you have to get a job and get into the field. So how was that and what was that like?
So I got hired before I got my license,
okay,
which was awesome because then you kind of, it's one of those things where you learn better if you're actually doing it versus out of a book. So I was lucky enough that Caesar gave me somebody's information, a local funeral home here. They hired me as prep team, which is embalming, and that's what I want to do. I like working with families, but it's too sad.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah. So you'd rather work with the actual dead body than to have to deal with the sadness and the grief that people bring into the, wow.
And let's be honest, it's a business and it's a very expensive business. Mm-hmm. And if I owned my own funeral home, I'd probably be giving everything away for free. Exactly. It's emotionally taxing and I'm not the person that's strong enough to do that and I know that, so I like to be behind scenes.
We all need the behind the scenes person.
But have you done, have you in I guess, encountered or experienced or put in the role of in front of the scenes and having to deal with the families?
To get my funeral directing license, you have to work.
You have to do that. Okay. So how long and what was that like?
It goes by case. So you just need a certain amount of cases to do it, to get your license. And then it's signed off by another funeral director. Mm-hmm. But as soon as I could not do that, I was quickly
back in the back. You're like, okay, my last hour, I'm good.
I mean, because it's very, very sad. And death is not fun. Unless you're doing a pre-need where you're coming in and pre-planning what you want.
Oh, okay. People do that. Oh, yeah. They're like, to take the burden off their own family.
And I encourage everybody to do that. Because it's such a high expense at a vulnerable time, you know, you want time to grieve, not thinking about the bills you have to pay and picking out this and picking out
and
that.
And the family fighting about money.
Oh, is that what the Neptune Society does?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, never heard of that.
Yeah.
It's a cremation society. So you can prepay for it. And then once you pass, everything is is done.
Wow.
But yeah, the fighting.
Yeah.
Is
fighting.
Yeah. So you got to see, you saw some of that too, huh?
By law, if you have siblings, which is the next of kin if your parents pass, you have to agree. The majority rules. And if the majority doesn't rule, then your loved one is stuck sitting until you can come to an agreement.
That's horrible.
It's awful.
That's horrible.
And people get very petty when death.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen some of that, right? You know, it's like you can't agree on like, okay, we're going to burial is cremation. Where's you know, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So pre-planning definitely sounds like a good idea. So so you said you went back to embalming. So what exactly is embalming?
So embalming is taking out, I'll just kind of lame it. You're taking out the blood and you're putting in formaldehyde, which is a preservative, you know, so you can be viewed or and it's not going to make you last forever.
Next question,
it's not going to make you last
how
forever.
Long does it preserve?
And it that also depends on if you have any medical conditions, you know, if you're the medications that you take, because we are very medically advanced now, and I feel like without certain medications people probably should have passed a long time ago. So once you stop taking those medications, the decomp rate is like skyrocketing.
Interesting.
So we're just trying to preserve you, quote unquote, until your family can see you for your viewing.
Yeah. So that's your job then, is to preserve them. They go in, they have an open casket.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the preferable method. So you could go and say goodbye.
Yeah.
So that's what you like to do.
Yes. Be behind the scenes.
How long does the process take?
It just depends. It depends on how the person's body weight, you know, if they're older and... if their veins are, you know, this their circulatory system is good. Most of the time for an easy case, and we call it a 1 point, which means the 1 point that we go in is, you know, your jugular vein. Instead of going through your like your femoral arteries or your different arteries. If you're a 1 pointer, maybe 2 hours is a good, is a good day.
What's your highest point case? Like 5?
Probably.
Wow. Probably. 5 different points.
Yes.
Wow.
So
that's crazy.
And a lot of people don't like it because they think that it's very invasive. You'll meet a lot of embalmers that don't want to be embalmed at all.
Really?
Oh,
yes. What about you?
I do.
Yeah. Okay.
We know.
All right.
What's your husband's name again?
Tim.
Tim, we know she.
I want the huge funeral with the flower. I want it all. I want
my sister has a playlist already.
My
sister has a playlist.
So do I. I'm planning it all out.
I have no plans. I need to get with you. I have like, I'm just like, who knows? You guys decide.
But I want to be preserved. I want to be in my best clothes.
Sure.
I have special instructions for my embalmer on certain things.
Okay.
Because I hate to say it, but when you're laying down in a casket, you can kind of get jugular. Like you're...
Here,
so I'm like, just tie some string so it's nice and tight.
You really thought this out.
Give me a lace collar. That's so crazy. Okay, so you finish the project, and then do you do the makeup?
Yep, do the makeup and dressing.
Okay.
And that's probably my favorite part, is getting somebody ready in their casket and just making them look like how their family
like remembers them. Yeah.
And you do that, like they bring in a picture or something?
Okay. So we usually ask for a photo, which like a six, you know, it's only been 6 months since you've taken that photo, which you'll be so surprised how many family members come in and go, we don't have any pictures of them.
Like none?
None.
Why?
Or they'll have one from like 1973.
Wow.
And I'm like, that person does not look like that anymore. But
what
you
do I do?
Will be so surprised on how many people, even today with our cell phones, have no
I was going to say that.
Pictures.
Interesting. That is very, because everyone takes selfies, you know?
But, so.
So you kind of have to wing it sometimes?
Yeah.
You do your best and just make it happen. I had a question real quick on, so what, and I don't know if you're allowed to say, what do you guys do with the blood?
So it goes down the drain.
Just goes down the drain?
Literally at the end of the table, there's a hole. And it's like a toilet without a lid. It flushes and sounds like a toilet, and it goes down the drain.
And just, all
right. Right down the drain. Yeah.
Into the Colorado River.
Literally. Which so many people are surprised. And that's why I'm so glad.
Yeah, so they're surprised. There you go. That's it. I didn't know.
What do we do with the blood? Yeah. It's
it just goes
what are we
right
supposed to do
drain?
With it? We have to get rid of it.
Yeah. So there it goes.
There it goes.
My blood.
Literally.
So you, and you, we're talking about the makeup, getting them ready. Hopefully they have a picture, and if they don't, and then is that where you're done after that point?
No, because, and mind you, a lot of these people are older. Thank goodness. Here in Yuma, we don't have a lot of tragic accidents. They're older, so they're like in their 80s or 90s, sometimes even hundreds. I'm not putting blue eyeshadow on grandma. You know what I mean? She's not going out for a disco. Like,
are you making her look natural?
Natural. Yeah. We're just trying to get some color back into these. You know what I mean?
Not scare the grandbabies.
But a lot of things can happen. Usually, we try to get people ready the night before, the day before their service. But you have a 12-hour window, which things can happen. It sounds awful, but people can leak. They can get discolored depending on how long they've already been in, you know, at our funeral home or how long they've been deceased before they were found or whatever the case may be. So we do it. We check them in the morning. And then when they go to the funeral home, whatever funeral home that is, or church, we touch up there as well. Okay. And that can be hair too, you know, their hair as well.
So how is this rewarding for you?
What
do you get out of this?
Being able to give families that last goodbye, especially in situations where they don't think that they can. We have had accidents. My favorite is restorative art. So for people that, you know, their loved one was in a horrific accident and they think that they can't have an open casket, us just taking that extra time and love and being able to give that to them. Because some people think, like,
it's over.
It's over. Yeah. I'm never going to see them again. But that's probably the most.
Yeah. So you're helping.
My own.
You know, in
your own weird way. You're like, I'm helping. Yeah.
And then people, like you said, they like to say that final goodbye. They like to go up. I've only done that once. Like with my dad when he passed away, we didn't do that to have an open casket or anything, which we could have, but we didn't. But I only did it once with my nana when I was 16. And they're like, go up and say goodbye. Go see her. I regret it. I wish I didn't do it. Okay. I don't. Yeah.
Did it scare you?
Well, no, it didn't scare me. I just don't want that be the last image, right? Like, because I could still see it in my head right now. Yeah. Like, I can
you
bring that up.
You want to remember her as like fun Nana.
Yeah. Like I you know, it's like they didn't. I guess I would say do a good job of making her look like how I saw her even like
peaceful.
A week before that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, and we get that a lot too. I mean, there are accidents where, as a funeral home, we tell family we do not think it's a good idea that you see your loved one. But as a mom now, I'm not going to tell another mom she can't see her child.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
And when that happens, we do get legal involved, and we do have you sign a piece of paper that says,
we're not responsible
if you can't handle this or you have regrets later.
And that's what you do all your schooling for. Like you said, lots of business, lots of laws.
Yeah,
because it's emotional. Everything is so emotional in what you do.
We have, we call them casket crawlers in the industry, like people trying to get in the casket because they know once that closes, that's it.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
That is it. And so they literally are trying to get into the casket.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
I've never heard of
that. That's extreme.
Yeah.
But they're so sad.
But you never know. Like, grief for people, it's not a one size fits all. And it can hit you.
Yeah. At the weirdest times,
people walk in thinking that they're going to try to climb in the casket.
No.
But you're saying you're overwhelmed.
They just don't know how to handle it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we know you're kind of taking a mommy break. Right now, you had twins, unexpected twins. Yes. You're like, I asked her.
Does anybody expect twins?
I don't know. If you're a twin, maybe, but you're not.
No.
She's like, literally does not run in my family.
Nope. Bodie and Brady, and they will be 2 in January, so I'm taking a break. Yeah. But I can't wait to get back. And it's funny, we were talking. Those kids have been in the funeral home more times than most people. And honestly, I take them for walks in the cemetery because it's safe.
Yeah.
I know all the grounds people. Mm-hmm. It's quiet. There's not a lot of people. And I know that if I needed something, I could just, you know, yell out to one of the cemetery attendants. But that's it.
This is how they're getting raised, which is like, it's going to be interesting to see how they
grow
turn
up
out.
And their friends are like, want to meet at the park? They're like, sure. And they go to the cemetery.
It's like, this is the park, guys. Exactly. This is normally where mom
their
gets out the picnic
be like,
table.
What the?
Exactly.
Hey, I'll meet you there. With my kids, I would go walk around that. Right? It's fine. It's actually like a beautiful place
to go remember.
It's not a scary thing.
No.
So we're going to have to wrap up real quick. Any interesting story you would share with us in the business, something that you could give us in the next like 1 minute?
I did see a 6-shot suicide.
Whoa.
Yeah, this gentleman shot himself 6 times and they called it a suicide, which I thought was very...
How do you do that?
He shot himself both times in the ankle, both times in the thigh, or, you know, once in each thigh, once in the chest, and then another one in the chest.
Okay.
So what she's saying, that can't happen.
I could say this is a misruled...
Something that was ruled a suicide.
But it was. I just watched a documentary on that on Hulu.
Yeah.
About a girl being told... it was called a suicide, but it was obvious that her other half killed her.
Well, I told my husband, you better watch out.
I know how to make it look like a suicide.
I can cremate overnight real quick.
Tim, watch out.
We're praying for you. Tim, call me.
You guys got a good relationship, right? You guys are good.
Yes, I can tell.
Cool. We're going to end on a happy note. They love each other. There's not going to be anything crazy.
We do.
No threats here.
Thank you so much for being with us on this Halloween.
That was fun.
You got to take the twins Halloween trick-or-treating tonight.
Clark Kent and Superman.
Oh, I love it. So cool. Cute.
That is the best. You got to take pictures and put them up or maybe share some pictures with us. I want to see this Clark Kent and Superman.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, all right.
Jilly from Philly.
Nick Papa Giorgio from Mule.